This episode of the Citadel Cafe is brought to you by listeners like you. Visit patreon.com/thecitadelcafe to find out how you can become a patron and help make this show possible.
This is the Citadel Cafe.
This is the Citadel Cafe, episode number 173 for December 9th, 2015. My name is Joel Duggan, and the Citadel Cafe is where my friends and I hang out to talk about the geeky stuff that we are into. We cover everything from movies and television to books, apps, and websites. Joining me tonight, as he often does, Lou Page of Zombies Ate My Podcast. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Not too bad at all. How are you?
I'm flipping exhausted.
I hear you.
I'm always very busy this time of year with commissions, for which I am very thankful. However, it's a lot of stuff to do, and the pressure of getting things done for people for holidays is kind of upon me, because as I said, it was December 9th. Holy crap.
Mm-hmm.
So there are 9 days until Star Wars. There are how many days until Christmas? 24 to 16 days until Christmas? 17.
Yeah.
14. 14 days. 2 weeks till Christmas. Yeah, that's, 2 weeks from tomorrow. Yeah, crazy. Crazy. I went for a run in shorts today, so it does not feel like Christmas.
It must be warmer there than it is here.
Yeah, well, I'm also kind of tough as rocks when it comes to that kind of stuff. It's probably only about freezing. I can run in shorts up until about -5. And then I have to switch. I also have very little choice. It's sort of an embarrassing story. It's not really. They're very, very old running pants, and I have ripped the crotch out of them. So.
That's not good.
No. So it's lined. It's not like I'm got a giant hole. It's that they're
right.
They're black on the outside, and they've got like a white liner. So when the black outside, which is like the waterproof type stuff, it's ripped in the crotch, and then there's a giant white patch that shows. So it looks kind of silly. It looks like I'm running with my fly down. So I opted not to run in those, and I just put a couple layers on with my running shorts, and I go that way. I'm not a tights kind of guy. I'm not the kind of guy that runs in tights. I'm not built for tights. Tights are not built for me, so I don't do it.
But I can sympathize with you. I've recently been doing a lot of working out myself.
Oh, yeah? What are you doing?
Well, I have my work just changed locations.
Mm-hmm.
And so I carpool with my wife, but she gets out an hour after me. So I have to kill time for an hour. And my employer put a gym in our basement for all the employees to promote working out and good health.
Mm-hmm.
So I work out for the last hour of the day every day.
Good for you.
So she can come pick me up. So I've been doing that for about 2 weeks now, 3 weeks. And I'm tired when I come home.
Yeah.
I'm not used to it.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I took a bit of a break this summer. I was running, and I wasn't getting anywhere with it. And I decided that I was going to walk in the mornings and, like, go to get my groceries, like, at zero dark stupid. Like, the grocery stores around here, they open up around 7 a.m. Some of them are 24 hours, but the ones next to me are 7 a.m. So if I get up at 6:15 and leave the house 10, 15 minutes later, I can get to the grocery store just as it opens and take care of all that kind of stuff. I'm home by 8, and a huge errand is done, because I don't have a car, so that takes a long time for me to get groceries every mm-hmm. other day, if it's not being paired up with other things that I'm doing. And I was doing it, but I was not seeing the results, and I was not really feeling great about it, because I'm old school. Like, I ran for years, and I don't get the stress relief from a walk.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I walk as fast as I can, I don't get really that exertion that I need. You know, I don't get that heart rate that I need. So I'm back running, and I've been doing it about 3 times a week. And I have had probably 8 weeks off, and I am tired. I hear you.
I understand 100%.
Yeah. So what are you doing for working out? I mean, are you lifting weights? Are you running?
What I've been trying to do is trying to alternate So,
Smart.
we have all kinds of equipment at in my our basement at work. So I'll do elliptical one day and then do certain weights or do like they, we have a couple of leg machines for doing certain weightlifting with your legs. And I'm like, I'll do one of those one day and do the elliptical. Then the next day I'll maybe do a bike and do upper arm training. And then I'll maybe take a day off and just walk on the treadmill the next day. That way I'm not killing myself.
Yeah, that's smart. I mean, too many people jump into it really heavily and they end up hurting themselves or they get, I don't know, tired, whatever. But that's smart. I mean, it's one something that I have begrudgingly and in my later years kind of wised up to listening to my body. Like when I'm tired, like I stopped running this summer because my back was starting to hurt and I was thinking like, this is silly. Normally when I run, my back doesn't hurt. But I was not feeling good about kind of like my lower back issues. And I think it's because, I mean, I'm still pretty heavy. I'm still about 245, 247. And running was just not pleasant for me. Like I wasn't enjoying it. So I thought, okay, maybe I should just take it down a notch. And the problem therein is that I have to walk for like an hour and a half to get the same kind of workout. And I don't have the time. But that's cool that you've got that access. I would love to have an elliptical because that's the thing that kind of kills me right now with my current weight is the impact. Even if I do kind of like a light heel toe and I'm not really heel striking, like I'm just kind of doing a proper run for long distance. But I would just love to have an elliptical, and I even then I still don't think it would be very pleasant for my downstairs neighbors. I don't think I
No,
could still.
we tried it once in an apartment and it was not. The downstairs neighbors were like, "What are you doing? Can you please do that when we're not home and not
Yeah.
when we're here?"
Yeah, because there's still the whirring and there's still weight moving around. I mean, I imagine it's going to sound like a combination of like jumping jacks in a vacuum. Like it's not going to be like a treadmill. If I had a treadmill in here, it would be the end of days. Like the whole building would be shaking. But an elliptical would be, I mean, maybe what I should do is I should try to get not an electric bike, but you can get like pedal bikes that just don't go anywhere.
Actually, in fact, my mother's gotta start working on her legs. She has all kinds of health problems, and their doctors are trying to get her to do more physical. So she bought a bike and she got it online somewhere. I have no idea where she got it, but it breaks down and can slide into a corner. Like you pull a lever
Wow.
and it tips up and everything breaks down and you could slide it into a corner. And I was like, that's a really clever idea. You're never going to do that, but it's a clever idea.
That's good for apartments. Good for apartments. I had a Bowflex at one point. I sold it. It was my mom's old one. It was one of the ones that was really, really big. And it was okay when I had it set up in the spare room, but when it was in my main bedroom, I had to move too much stuff. It's like I had to turn the room into a transformer to use it. So I got rid of it and I just went out to Walmart and picked up a couple of 20-pound dumbbells. And I've been
Does the
so
same
long,
thing.
yeah, I've been so long out of a gym now that I can get a decent workout with a couple of 20-pound dumbbells. I can just keep the intensity up. And oh, I do have a chin-up bar too. And that helps because, like, hey, if you want to lift something heavy, well, I'm
Lift
heavy.
yourself.
So the chin-up bar. Although I have to, I've been slowly but surely finishing all the painting around the apartment. I've been doing trim and stuff like that after Mom and Barry helped me paint the walls, and I haven't put the chin-up bar back up yet because I'm trying to find things to wrap around it because it's got black rubber
And it
bumpers
leaves
on,
the marks
and it
on
leaves
the.
marks on the wall. All right, so I got the rubber bumpers on the sides taken care of, but the rubber slash plastic stopper on the top of it, I still have to figure out what to put over that. I'm not exactly sure what I'm going to do, but I have to find something that will still allow me to then hook it up to the door frame because it's like a cantilever thing where it puts pressure on one side of the door frame and then on the top of the other side of the door frame, and then through the magic of gravity and physics, it holds me up. It bends quite a bit, but it doesn't fall over, so that's the important part. But yeah, well, speaking of how busy we are with the holidays, and we're all working out like crazy trying to get rid of the extra turkey weight so that we can put it back on in 2 weeks. We are going to have a holiday episode next week on the Citadel Cafe. It's going to be our last episode of 2015. You are going to be back, I think, right?
Yes, I should be able to at least stop by for a few minutes.
Yes, and that's the thing. So anybody that has been on the show this year, I'm going to be reaching out to you in the next day or two. But anybody that's been on the show that wants to come by, anybody that's in the chat room that wants to come by, just shoot me an email. I will make sure that you are in the dock and make sure that you are in the Skype call list so I can bring people in. I don't think I can have much more than four or five people on Skype at a time before it has a conniption fit. But Hammond will not be able to make it, unfortunately. He let me know that today. His what did he say? His kids are in a holiday extravaganza at school. So my imagination ran wild with that, and I imagine it's some sort of crazy thing with like lasers and baby Jesus with a Superman suit on, and like, yeah, I'm thinking this is gonna be like this multi-denominational craziness, which I think would be kind of fun. However, he won't be here. Brockett will be here. That's his regular week. So I don't know who's gonna stay for the whole show and who's gonna be able to kind of pop by and say hi and see what's up. So that's gonna be happening next Wednesday. And that will be it until the new year. I don't remember what date exactly we start. It's early though. It's like the 5th or the 6th because New Year's Day is a Friday. So that following Wednesday, we should be back, no problem. And that will be with Hammond. He's confirmed that he's going to be available for that. So just kind of a heads up as to what's coming down the tubes. I don't know what we're going to talk about. We've already done a couple of kind of annual, like, what are your favorite holiday specials sort of thing. So I don't necessarily want to recap and get into that, but it might be just kind of fun to touch base and maybe see what people are doing for New Year's or what they're looking forward to in 2016. Unfortunately, the show will happen before Star Wars. So yes, we're not going to be able to talk about that. Our Star Wars episode will be in the new year. So the good news is we'll have lots of time for people to go see it and for all the spoilers to be over with.
Are you going to a midnight showing then?
God, no. I don't even have tickets. I'm going
to a midnight showing.
Oh, wow.
So
no, I just, the days of me getting in line for movies is just not happening anymore.
I don't normally do midnight showings, but one of my best friends, we've been friends since middle school, and he called me and he went, "So I'm thinking of doing something stupid." And I'm like, "Yeah, what's that?" Because I want to go to Star Wars midnight showing. He goes, "We did it when the prequels came out. We should do it now." And I went, "All right, I guess I'll go."
Yeah. Well, it's one thing when you're 20, when those things come out, you're like, "Yeah, let's do it. That'll be rad." And now you're just like, "No, I'm coming up on 40. That does not sound like fun." It would be neat to see the people in line, but I don't know. I just, the kind of stuff that happens with that kind of thing is that, yeah, now some of the theaters around here have actually given out assigned seating.
Yeah.
So that I'm cool with. Like, 'cause that means you don't have to worry about waiting in line to have a good seat. You just have to wait in line to get in. You already know where you're sitting. That's not a common thing around here, though. That's not usually something that happens. There's not very many theaters. Like, there'd be a theater complex would have a screen or two that would do that, but not the whole complex would have assigned seating, right? It's not like going to a hockey game.
No, we don't have assigned seating here.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm honestly where I don't work, like where I don't have like a regular schedule during the week because I freelance, I'm probably just going to go on some random Tuesday afternoon because I don't want to see it in 3D either. Like, I just want to go see the film.
No, that was my deal. He was like, "I'm going to get the tickets. You could just pay me when we get to the theater." I said, "That's fine, but no 3D.
Mm-hmm.
I have trouble seeing 3D. So
yeah, me too. I've got glasses. I'm not sure if you do.
No, I don't have glasses, but my brain has trouble interpreting the optical illusion and I kind of see through it.
And
it just kind of hurts my head.
Yeah, no, it gives me a headache too because I have to find like the perfect way to wear the glasses. And if I'm in IMAX, it's okay because they're really big clown glasses and they're very light and you can kind of perch them at any point along your nose and they'll stay. But in regular theaters, they give you these stupid little plastic nerd glasses that are the same size as the glasses that I have on. So that I'm jamming my glasses up as close to my face as I can, which is not where I wear them. And then I have these other things, like, immediately they're over. I find they gray everything out. Like, I just want to go see the film as it was made. I don't care about 3D. I'm curious, though, where where you have trouble with 3D, have you tried any VR stuff?
I have. I did a what's it called? The big one.
The Oculus Rift.
Oculus Rift. I did it at a convention.
Mm-hmm.
I went to an indie convention 3 or 4 years ago, and I could see everything, and I could feel like I was there, but the 3D didn't work on me.
Mm.
It felt like I was in a 2D environment, moving around and looking around.
Oh, so they did 3D in VR?
It was supposed to be, I think.
Oh. Because I would think VR would be more just CG, like virtual reality, not
it
like
was 3D. The thing I did, I was sitting in a cockpit, and then I was supposed to be able to look around at stuff, and it worked, but the refresh rate on whatever game I was playing was really bad.
Hmm. Yeah, that seems to be kind of a common challenge with this stuff. I'm looking forward to trying it. I've never tried any virtual reality of any substance.
They used to be a place in Boston when I was a kid that had the old-fashioned 3D. You stand inside a big stupid block thing and hold the thing in front of you that tells you where your hands are, and you put the 3D the headset on, but they were always awful.
Yeah.
And uncomfortable.
Yeah, I don't know. I imagine they're probably pretty heavy.
They're not light, or at least the old ones weren't. So I can't imagine the new ones are any better.
No, I like the idea of doing something like that. Like, I remember when I was in Disney World when I was a kid, and there was these, it was an arcade, but it was an arcade where you sat in a robotic chair that spun around, kind of like speaking of Star Wars, kind of like when you're Han Solo and Luke Skywalker are in the guns, the turrets on the Falcon in that first movie, or the fourth movie, whatever, you know what I mean? New Hope. And, like, it was really cool because, I mean, it wasn't Star Wars, but it was just so neat to be swiveling around at your own control. And you're thinking about just shooting the thing on the screen, and the chair is doing all this movement. And it was very immersive. So I'd love to do something like that. Can you imagine something like No Man's Sky? You know, in VR, like, that would be so cool.
That would be amazing. Though I'm still not sold on that game.
I'm curious about it. I don't think it's going to be great for combat. I'm curious to see if it's going to be something that you can do with friends, because that would be neat.
My thing is I'm a very story-driven gamer, and every time they release more stuff, they just kind of go, yeah, and you can explore more, and yeah, you can go here, yeah, you can go see this more. I'm like, but is there any kind of real story going on here?
No.
Or is it just going to be me exploring? Because that's going to get boring for me in about 5 minutes.
Well, and I'm wondering if the story or any kind of story elements are going to be kind of driven by the public. Like, just imagine for a second if it's a sandbox game, you know, you get a bunch of friends, there's a couple different servers, and even though there's no factions like Horde and Alliance in Warcraft, but maybe natural alliances kind of form. And say, like, you and me and a couple of other friends, Ryan and some folks, all decide, oh, okay, we're going to be like a band of, you know, space explorers. And we've got this planet and it's full of resources. And then someone else says, I want your resources. And we say, no, you can't have, you're not, no. And then all of a sudden we're at odds with these folks. And I mean, that would be neat.
That would be very neat. But in my thing is in a long-term goal, I feel like that would get annoying after a while.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I think there'd have to be some sort of time limit on it. Like, maybe not it's you're at odds forever. It's just like, all right, if you want this planet, you've got 2 weeks to try and take it over. If you make it, great. If you can't, well, you can't attack anymore. Like, you'll be, you have to move on. You'll be banished from the system or something. That would be kind of fun. I just like the idea of discovering a planet, seeing a cool thing, messaging a friend about it, and then sending them there to then see it.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, imagine like you're flying under some space version of like the Hopewell Rocks, and you're thinking like, wow, this is so neat. And maybe it's all like purple and sparkly, like Avatar, and you can send that to somebody or send the location to somebody. And, what's the, not Boulder Dash, what's the, it's not a sport, but it's like a hobby where people use GPS to find stuff.
Oh, that's, geocaching.
Geocaching. Imagine geocaching, but in a virtual space.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, like that would be kind of cool. So I'm very curious about the game. I mean, I have no system to play it on, so it's not like I'm going to have access to it. But I like the visuals of it so far. I think it's kind of inventive. I like that it's kind of that it kind of puts itself on the like it randomizes things. I'm not so sure that it's not going to exhaust the art assets too fast. Like when you're on Planet 35, is it just going to look like a yellow version of Planet 17? You know.
That's the stuff I'm not sold on. I don't know anybody that's played it yet. I know plenty of people that have seen like the demos and stuff, but I don't know anybody that's had hands on.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of waiting. I'm not totally sold on it yet.
Yeah.
Especially where it's supposed to be like a 6-man team. I'm like, I don't know if 6 men could put together the thing that they're telling us they can sell us.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, it just... If it's a lot of automation, I could sort of see it, but, and it's also not, I mean, it doesn't look like, what's the latest game that came out that looks ridiculous? Star Wars Battlefront is supposed to look beautiful.
It's absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, it's not that. It doesn't look like that. You know, it has a more of a stylized look to it, which sometimes I prefer in video games. I think that it has a charm to it.
It definitely does. It definitely does.
I mean, says the cartoonist, you know, whatever. Well, what have you been watching this week? Have you had a chance to dive into anything?
Well, I've watched and finished Jessica Jones.
Ooh, okay, nice.
So, I know that you talked about it last week.
We did, but for some of you that might be more recent, because I did just post last week's episode this morning.
Yeah.
I'm a little behind on that.
But I've seen the whole thing, and I think you have too.
Yes. So we can get into some spoilers here. So word of the wise, chat room, word of the wise, people listening at home. It's been a few weeks. I feel like if you were watching, you know, one even every other day, you'd be through Jessica Jones by now. So Lou and I are probably going to delve into some spoiler zones on Jessica Jones.
So I've been super excited for this just because I like just about everybody that's in it. And I was curious to see how David Tennant plays a bad guy. And I gotta say, he sold me. He was probably my favorite part of the whole series.
Absolutely. And I haven't seen him, because he played a Doctor Who, right? Like, that's his big claim
to
fame.
He was the 10th Doctor.
And arguably a lot of people's favorite, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So I've only ever seen him in Broadchurch.
Right.
Which he plays a similar... toned but very different character, and I feel like comparing his performance in Broadchurch to Jessica Jones just really shows you how good of an actor he is.
Yes.
And good actors as bad guys is always a good idea.
Yeah. And the thing is he nails the thing, because he is such a despicable, awful, terrible character, like person. You can't help but like hate him every turn. But then he's got so much charisma and charm. You're like, I hate him, but there's something about him that makes him compelling to watch. And then as the story unfolds more and more, you get a more of an understanding as to why he is the way he is.
Mm.
And at every turn, even when he does horrible things, you're like, I get it. He still needs to die, but I get why he is the way he is.
Yeah, they humanize him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not a super villain. He's a serial killer. Like something in him has snapped. Like he is a broken human being with a superpower, which is just terrifying.
Yes.
And for those of you that don't know, he can tell someone to do something and they will do it no matter what.
Yes.
And it has a fade, like 12 hours, I think, at first.
It's 12 hours. But it's longer the closer you are to him and the longer you've been exposed to him.
Right. Okay. But like he can say something like, you know, dig your eye out with a spoon and you will kill yourself trying to do this. Like it's just, it's crazy the shit that he gets people to do. And I think like, I mean, the part of the appeal I think to him as a villain is like all of us, there's this little darkness inside of us that we're kind of like, I want that superpower.
Yeah. You're like, you know, I hate to say it, but that guy that cut me off in traffic, I would love to tell him to go wrap his car around a telephone pole on the way home. You know what I mean? And he could do that sort of thing. And he takes full advantage of it to the point where he literally just walks into people's houses and just kind of goes, "You're going to make me dinner. What are we having?" And they just make him dinner and have conversations with him.
Yeah. And that on the surface seems harmless.
Yes.
But he despises children. So he tells the two 10-year-old kids to go into the closet. And the kid's like, "But I have to go to the bathroom." And he just says, "Go in the closet. It'll be okay." Like, these kids are in that closet long enough, they probably died. They don't show it.
But right.
There's no explanation as to, did he let them out of the closet? Like, it's really kind of terrifying, the stuff that he does.
It is. And it's just, at every turn, he's worse and worse. But then as they humanize him, you're like, well, I get why he's the way he is. It doesn't make it any better, but I get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved Luke Cage. The actor that played him, he looked, he acted, and he nailed the tone of his character.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, I agree. I really liked Luke Cage. I thought he did a good job.
My biggest gripe is that stupid neighbor. If I had to deal with the whiny chick who lost her brother, if I had to deal with her for one more episode, I was going to scream.
Yeah.
She was my biggest weakness of the whole show.
Yeah, they overplayed her just a little bit too much. She became too much of a main character. Like, she needed one scene in the episode.
Yeah.
I'd be okay if she showed up every episode, but it was like for that eye roll or that, "Oh my God, you are batshit crazy." Like, just that starry-eyed moment where you're just like, step away slowly, maintain eye contact, just back away. The thing that I think I liked about her is that I know people like that.
Yeah.
And they're just as scary in real life. And I think that there is I like the fact that she was that kind of crazy. Like, it felt real to me. Like, I feel like the whole show is just full of fairly real people.
Yeah.
You know, despite that several of them have got superpowers. Like, it feels very, not even Heroes. Like, remember, you know, Heroes from NBC?
Oh, yes.
That felt like superheroes and supervillains. Like, it felt like people trying to do their thing. Right. Whereas this is, I mean, honestly, with the exception of Kilgrave, the character that David Tennant plays, everybody is trying not to use their abilities or to hide them at the very least.
Right. That Jessica seems to only use them when she has to. And she doesn't really know the extent of her powers.
No, neither do we. Because
she doesn't want to push them.
Mm-hmm.
And they still don't do a very good job explaining to you where her powers came from.
I feel like that's kind of... This was a long origin story. I feel like that's going to come in the next season.
I think so too.
Or if it's not an entire season of Jessica Jones, if they get into the whole team up with Jessica Jones and Daredevil, Luke Cage. I don't know who the other members of that team are.
I know the plan is it's going to be Iron Fist, Daredevil, The Punisher, Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, and there's talk they might be including Moon Knight.
I did remember the Punisher. Is The Punisher going to be a Netflix thing?
He is going to be in this upcoming season of Daredevil.
Oh, no. Oh, that's what it was. That's what it was.
And there's talk that he might be getting his own series shortly after
that, right? Who's playing him, do you know?
It's
oh, it's the dude from Walking Dead.
Yes, it is.
Right. Okay, I knew that. Yeah, yeah. I don't remember his name, but yeah. Yeah,
I've seen photos of him in the costume and he does look the part.
Yeah. So yeah, he's not an attractive human being, but
no, and the Punisher doesn't have to be an attractive looking guy.
No. The only thing that disappoints me in that casting is that I feel like, even though it's different in terms of the type of character he's playing from The Walking Dead, is the same mood. Like, he's just going to be Scowl Man.
Yeah, and he was in the movie Fury, and he was kind of the same thing in that as well.
Yeah.
Might be a one-trick pony.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he plays it well. Visually, he fits the part. Like, I don't know that I'd go see him in a, you know, romantic comedy.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, he feels like he plays the angry part well.
he's gonna be the angry action hero for a while.
Yeah. Although it kind of makes you wonder. I mean, I don't know anything about this guy's personal life, and I wonder if he's just a very peaceful, you know, happy individual.
They usually are.
And he just gets all of this anger out on screen so that he doesn't have to deal with it in real life. You know.
They usually do.
Yeah, that's pretty fun. I know. Is he British? Is he American?
No, as far as I know, he is American.
I know. Cool. Yeah, I'm looking forward to all the tie-ins with Jessica Jones. I'm very curious to learn more about Jessica. I she grew on me as the show went on, but something I mentioned to Hammond last time, because he'd only gotten through it about 4 to 5 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
She is a one-trick pony for half of the season.
Yes.
You really don't get to see the other side of her until at least episode 6, maybe even 8.
Yeah.
And it's worth the wait. Like you get rewarded by being patient with it, but it's hard. Like you have to remind myself, okay, it's Netflix. It's going to take a while. It's not going to be like regular television where episode 3 everything is all lined up. You know,
right.
Like it takes a while. I was,
and in all honesty, that's something I really enjoy about Netflix is that they don't shove everything down your throat. They let you kind of grow into what's going on. They don't reveal everything and go, here's the theme of what this show is going to be about. It takes like 3 episodes before you kind of get what's going on.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And the problem with it all, and I agree with it, is that we are conditioned by all the other stuff we watch.
Yes.
Right? I mean, we're conditioned by Supergirl and The Flash and Arrow and like the stuff that is just like smack you in the face. Don't make it too complicated because everybody has to get it, whether they're 8, whether they're 58, or whether they're, you know, a PhD or dumb as a bag of hammers. Like this, everybody has to get this because that's how they make their money, right?
Right.
And Netflix is just like, we already have your money. We're just going to write this for us.
We're going to just show you what you want.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I totally agree. Was there any other superheroes in this? There was just 3 of them, right? Well, Kilgrave's a villain, but...
Yeah, there was also the cop who ends up being... he ends up being Nuke.
Oh, is that who that is?
Yes.
Because I didn't like him at all. And I mean that in a good way. Like, the way that he acted that part, it made my skin crawl.
Yeah, at first when he starts helping, you're like, oh, I kind of like him. Okay, I could see. And then he slowly goes down this dark path.
Yeah.
And you're left not knowing where he is.
Yeah, there's a moment at near the end when he shoots another cop. And... You can't say that you don't see it coming, because at that point you already know that he's bad, right?
Yeah.
And I think they show him bringing the weapon into the scene. So you kind of think the things are going to go bad, but it's the cold, calculated, just unfeeling way that he does it where you kind of go,
yes.
Ooh, wow. Like he has as little regard for other people as Kilgrave does.
Right. And he might even be worse.
Yeah.
At certain points, like he literally, the cop tells him at one point, the detective that they've just had witness what Kilgrave makes somebody do so that he can be a witness. And literally like 5 minutes later, he shoots the guy in the face and he didn't need to do that. There was absolutely no reason for him to do that.
Yeah.
Except to cause more chaos.
Yeah. I feel like they take the characters in this series, they take the darkest side of humanity and then give it, like, they manifest it in the characters, the bad guys, the people that you don't like. And it's not like extremes. They're not taking, okay, so Kilgrave is kind of like the extreme serial killer, but like his power is what the everyday, like, you know, you run into somebody that's an absolute asshole in the grocery store and you just want to tell them to go away, right? But
right.
For whatever reason, they don't. Or like when you're growing up and you're getting bullied in school, or you know, you're in a situation where someone will not leave you alone and you just wish they would just fuck off. And you could do that, you know, if you were Kilgrave. And then like, and that's where people identify, you know? And I think that they take like some of the darker parts of the everyday and they really push it to the an identifiable Max in Jessica Jones and in Jessica as well, because like she, for the lack of a better description, she kind of has all the powers of Superman, except for she can bleed. Like she's not bulletproof. Right. But she's not super nice about anything.
No.
You know? Yeah. I got a kick out of the sex scenes at the beginning.
That was a little, it was okay, but it felt like they were throwing it in to just make you know, this is not.
Yeah.
This is Marvel telling us a different kind of story. This is not Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, not Captain America, you know.
Yeah.
There's no ho-hum chum, elbow in the ribs sort of stuff. No, you're right. It did sort of feel like the HBO card. It's like, oh, hey, yeah, this isn't Cable. This is.
And I got it when they happened the first time, but then it felt like they kept throwing it in over and over and over again. And I was like, okay, mm-hmm. I get the hint.
Yeah.
I get the hint. Can we just show Kilgrave doing whatever it is he's doing so that we can move on with the plot?
Yeah. I feel like the reward there was the fact that they finally found another person that they could be with. That they didn't have to hold back.
Right.
You know, it's like that gag where Superman and Wonder Woman get together.
Yes.
Like, yes. Well, I shouldn't say it's a gag. That's happened in the comics. But, like, when that happens, you kind of feel like, you know, mountains are colliding. And, you know, like,
right.
It's the kind of thing where they both don't have to, like, really kind of watch themselves.
I think
that's kind of a, I mean, it's an interesting side of superhero dumb, you know.
Yes, it is.
You know, I just, it's stuff that no one really thinks about when you're dealing with, like, you know, Captain America and Iron Man and stuff like that. Like, it's not part of the main plot points.
I'm curious as to how this upcoming Civil War is going to affect these series as a whole. So.
Yeah, they might go a little darker on that one. They might go a little darker there. I've seen the trailer. It's more of a teaser than anything else.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Speaking of trailers, did you see the new... You see the new Batman v Superman trailer?
I did. And I still don't know how I feel about it.
I am, like, I made this joke immediately to Chad. He sent it to me. He's like, dude, you, like, totally have to see this. He's like, raw, it's Doomsday's in it. I'm just like, well, spoiler. Now I don't, you know, that big moment revealed, gone. So I watched the trailer, and it's mostly just Clark Kent and Bruce Wayne arguing.
Yeah.
I do not like Lex. I think it is a horrible, horrible version of Lex. He's got one good line in that he says, Lois Lane calls him psychotic. And he says, psychotic is just a word for thoughts that are too big for small minds.
He says it's a three syllable word for people that don't understand something.
Exactly. That. It's good. Like he's not threatening in the least. He's got like this stupid hippy dippy hair. It's what's his name? Jason somebody?
That's Jesse Eisenberg.
Jesse Eisenberg. Complete dork. Like not at all villainous in any way. And certainly not like the nemesis for Superman. Like, I'm not convinced.
I'm not convinced, but I also don't think that they gave us a whole enough in. They showed us this. They showed what the general populace wanted.
Mm-hmm.
They did not show what comic book fans wanted.
No, that's true. And it's not a very good trailer either. There's a couple of edit points where you're just like, yeah, they made that look like it just was Wonder Woman's entrance, but that wasn't Wonder Woman's entrance. Like it just,
right.
I don't know. And I mean, I realize it's probably like a bat grapple gun or something, but the fact that you've got the first real shot of Batman standing, doing his thing and he's holding a weapon. Like, I don't know. It feels kind of strange.
Well, I heard that explained. There was an article somebody wrote on a fan site about that. They're like, it's not a gun. Whatever it is that he's holding, it looks like a gun. It's shaped like a gun. It's probably an anti-Superman weapon.
Yeah. It looks like, I mean, he did use something very similar in Dark Knight when he shoots sticky bombs across at the high rise in Hong Kong. Like, I mean, I get that he's got like, you know, projectile based tools. But it just, the way that he's holding it like a soldier would hold like an AK-47. Like it's not, I know it seemed kind of odd. Chad had mentioned that he thought that Ben Affleck sounds silly as Batman.
Yeah, I'm not sold.
I would argue
he has the look. I am not sold on the temperament yet.
I would argue that anything is better than the growl from.
Yeah, I agree.
Because that got old too. With the as much as I like the Nolan films, like the fact that he couldn't breathe through his nose and that he was just growling, it that was stupid. At least this one, he doesn't look like he's mouth breathing. Like,
right.
Because that's the thing to me is like Batman needs to be stoic and silent. He's not really supposed to say much. But the thing, the piece de resistance is the end when they don't need Superman or Batman. They need Legolas because somebody let the cave troll from Moria out and gave it superpowers. And like, I looked at it and 10 seconds later, I'm just like, that's the cave troll from Moria. Like they didn't even try. It's the same guy. Anyway.
Hey, it's made by Warner Brothers.
Yeah. Somebody's reusing an asset there and they need to be fired. Anyway, I don't think it's going to be Doomsday, but it might be. I hope there's not like the death of Superman in all in one movie. Like
I don't think that they would do that, mostly because there are a lot of people that don't like that concept of the death of Superman. That portion of the 90s, while it sold comics really, really well, there's a lot of people that look back on that and they're like, yeah, that really was kind of a low point in Superman's career.
Yeah, no, I'm not entirely convinced. I'm still going to go see the movie for all the complaining that I'm doing. I'm still.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I mean, I've kind of resided that I will watch Henry Cavill in just about anything. I find him charismatic and I really enjoy his Superman. So I'm going to go see that. I'm curious how that's going to all go, but I'm sure I'm going to have some cannon fodder on the other side of it. I could be pleasantly surprised. I mean, we all poo-pooed when Heath Ledger was cast as a Joker.
It's probably not going to be the greatest movie, but it'll be a good popcorn movie.
Yeah.
You'll walk out and go, okay, it was fun. It wasn't Superman and it wasn't Batman, but it was fun. I think that'll be the big takeaway.
Right. So can we do a spoiler-free tease on the latest Supergirl? Because I haven't seen it, but I know that you wanted to talk about it.
We can. So this whole episode, you can tell what it's all about right from its title and from the way the last episode ended.
Right, her finger was bleeding.
Supergirl is bleeding. And so something happens to the city. I think I could spoil it. It's not really a big, it's not like a supervillain or anything. An earthquake strikes National City.
Okay.
And there's chaos running around, and the whole episode revolves around how everybody is looking for Supergirl, but she can't help anybody.
Right.
And it's her kind of learning that. In the meantime, back at the DOA, I think it's called, or the DAO.
DAO, Department of DEO.
DEO, yeah. Back at the DEO, when the power goes out from the earthquake, somebody gets one of the supervillains gets loose inside the facility that they've got prisoner there, and they're trying to catch it. That's pretty much the gist of the episode, non-spoilery. But there is a huge twist at the end, and they reveal something. And it's kind of a thing, the kind of thing that makes you go, was this the mid-season finale? Because I really don't want to wait another 3 or 4 episodes before we find out more about this.
Yeah. That sounds cool. I mean, do you know when the Christmas finale is?
I don't. I think this may have been it, but if it isn't, there's one more episode.
Yeah. Is it pretty cliffhangery?
Not really.
Okay.
But they do make a big reveal at the end that makes you go, can someone tell me more about that?
Yeah. They might have one more episode because it airs on Mondays.
Yes.
So that's what, Monday was the 7th, 6th.
It also started a couple episodes behind from regular shows.
Yeah.
So they might be having one more episode, I'd guess.
Yeah, because that would be on the 14th. That's not so close to Christmas that they could.
No.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I'm hoping.
I'd be really curious just to see what you think of the big reveal at the end of the episode.
Yeah, because I wasn't a fan of the last the last week's episode.
You were not a fan of the Red Tornado?
No, we didn't talk about it much on the show because Hammond hadn't seen it, and Hammond and his daughter Sid are really into it, and I didn't want to even touch on it because it is what it was, and I enjoyed all the punch first, ask questions later stuff about it. But
yeah,
there was a lot of fluff in that episode.
I liked the idea. I thought that the Red Tornado looked a little dumb.
Oh, it looked really dumb. Super
like
dumb.
It looked like a guy with red face paint on.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of like, eh, okay.
Yeah. The other thing that they could have done is the general, Lane, Lucy.
He was too cookie cutter.
Oh my gosh. It was like they pulled him out of every movie from the 80s ever.
Yeah.
You know, and he's a good actor. I've seen him in lots of stuff.
He's an excellent actor.
Yeah. But he was a really good actor in, what's the football one? Friday Night Lights.
Yeah.
No, I really enjoyed him. Now, granted, he played a cop in that. Like, he tends to play like somebody with authority.
Yeah.
But yeah, they could have. I mean, every time he opened his mouth, he was like, "Oh God, shut up!" Like, congratulations, we know you're stubborn. Thank you. He contributed nothing.
Yeah. It was. I am every general you've ever seen in a TV show ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Very shallow. Very shallow character. And he doesn't have to be. That's the thing.
No.
That's the thing. All right, cool. So I'm looking forward to checking out Supergirl. I have to touch, I know we're running a little bit long, but I have to touch on this because I just watched it over the last couple of days. I broke it up over a couple of meals. And I finally had an opportunity to sit down and was in the right mood to watch Where the Wild Things Are. And I was really surprised. I didn't like it. It's not like it was a pleasant surprise. Have you seen it?
I've never seen it. I was not a fan of the book as a kid, so I didn't feel super pulled into, I need to see it.
Yeah, I remember the visuals from the book. I'm sure at some point I brought it home from the library, you know, when I was younger. It's adapted from Maurice Sendak's 1963 children's book of the same name, Where the Wild Things Are. And the story in the book is essentially this kid has a tantrum and he goes up to his room and he makes a fort and he escapes into his imagination where he then encounters all these different beasts. And all the beasts are essentially the manifestations of the different emotions that he's feeling as to why he threw the tantrum. Jealousy, anger, there's a couple of other ones. Not ignorance, being ignored, like they're weird. They're not emotions. They're more feelings. Like they're situations. Some of them are situations, and some of them are actual emotions. And I mean, it's pretty. There's the Wikipedia article about the book straight up saying that. Like eventually, Sendak went on to explain that. Yeah, like there's a trilogy of books, and they are all exploring these different emotions that kids come to encounter and then master. Like when you're a kid and you're bored, like we're all bored at some point, but as adults you can just handle it. But there's this point when you're a kid where you have to learn to handle it.
Yeah.
And it was an interesting way of thinking about it. But the movie, it is not for kids. Like anybody under 14, this would be terrifying. Maybe 14 really? Is a little bit older, but like it's like the kid that is in this movie is too young of a kid to bring to go see it. Like he looks like he's supposed to be maybe 10. Like he's out playing in a snow fort. He's got stuffed animals and he's doing names and he's doing make-believe play fights and fortresses and stuff like that. So, I mean, I don't remember when that stopped for me, but I was probably still 8 or 10 playing with action figures. Right. And here's the defining point and the big difference is that in the movie, he runs away. He doesn't just go up to his room and escape into his imagination. He actually flees and runs into the night, which is scary for his parents and unsafe for him. And like this just whole ream of just, they don't explain exactly where he goes. He just gets into a boat in what looks like a duck pond. And then all of a sudden he's in the open ocean and then he's on an island. And essentially they filmed the rest of it in Australia.
Right.
And so it's all this imaginary land and he's dealing with these wild things and they're psychotic. Like they're unbalanced.
Right.
It's like anger. He's just like, oh wow. Yeah, this is fun. And they're smashing stuff. And yeah, this feels good. And blah, 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 blah. And it's like, what do you taste like? And there's this moment where he's like, wait, what?
Really?
Yeah. And then like they make him his king. And in the process of making him their king, they put the scepter and the crown in his hands after they take it off the human remains of the last one.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I mean, if I had taken a 10-year-old to this movie, we would be leaving.
That surprises me.
And then as an adult, it's almost a psychological thriller. Because you're watching this, like, it's not a gory movie. There's no jumping out and scaring you. There's no chainsaws. It's not Cabin in the Woods. But every once in a while, these monsters that are emotions, these wild things, lash out. And this is a vulnerable 10-year-old kid, and these things are, well, they're the size of Big Bird. Like, they're all people in giant mascot right. suits, for the sake of argument, right? To give you kind of a scale. With big heads, teeth, it's really kind of crazy. They're physically super strong. They can, when they punch a tree, it explodes, like this kind of stuff. They've got claws. Like, they're mean looking. And once in a while, like this one, I can't remember her name off the top of my head. It's not Carol, because this is the other thing. Carol is the main dude that's a monster. So it's a girl's name, and it throws you off the entire movie. And that character wasn't Carol in the children's book. It was a monster, but it has a dude's name.
Right.
What are the other characters' names that I'm trying to think of here? I don't recall. Darn, the wiki article is all jumbled up and I can't really. Oh, here we go. Carol, KW, Douglas, Ira, Judith, Alexander, and Bernard are all the names of the characters. And that's what makes it so real, is that they look like giant Disney monsters.
Right.
But they talk like you and I. Like, they brood. They've got, like, their speech patterns are like live action adults. But then they've got the emotional capacity of children with like superpowers. So just imagine Jessica Jones throwing a tantrum.
Yeah, that doesn't seem
right. Like it seems really weird. Like it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. There's very little dialogue when Max, who's the main boy, is at home, and that at first feels very artsy, and you're like, okay, I have to pay attention to this movie. I can't be doing other things. I really kind of, there's going to be some subtlety here. And it's right. And it's for the sake of even though I didn't like the film as a whole, it's brilliantly done in the way that it's acted. Like, you really have to pay attention. The movie does not speak down to you. It doesn't do this smack you in the face with the issues. Like, you really kind of have to put two and two together. Like, you realize quite quickly that when Max is on the island, he's basically on an island full of, you know, monsters that are representing his emotions and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's not clear what they are. And that's what I mean. Like, I don't remember the book. And I mean, I caught up with the Wikipedia article before the show tonight, but when you're watching the film, you're like, okay, well, that's anger. And she's jealousy. And she's the terrifying one. Ira, I think is her name. No, that's a dude. Ira's a dude. It was Idris. And there's Ira and one of the other ones is Judith. Judith is the Triceratops kind of, and it's Catherine O'Hara, right? So from like Beetlejuice and Home Alone.
Yeah.
And as an actor, like, she can snap, right? Like, she can flip a switch and go from like happy-go-lucky mom to like, you're in the doghouse. You know, right. Like, she can really flip that on. And she does that, but she does that to like, you know, like, you don't really have powers, do you, Max? So if I tried to eat you, you couldn't stop me. And she is dead serious when she asks him that, right? And even the look on Max's face is just like, oh, well, wait, what?
You're definitely not selling me on this movie.
No, it's one of those things where, like, I kind of want people to watch it to experience it and be as bewildered as I am. Right? Like, I'm not saying it's a good movie. I'm not saying, so what I'd say, it's not a bad movie, but it's not an enjoyable movie. It's a movie that fucks with you, if you pardon my French, right?
Like, I had that it was that kind of vibe, and that's why I have yet to see it.
But all the media, all of the any website, any trailer, anything that I saw for that, build it as a movie to take your kids to. Right? Like the website's all fun and games. The trailer was all like, oh, look, we've took this heartwarming children's book and we've turned it into a live action film. Aren't we special? Like, it's just like, no.
Like Phil Rude in the chat room says he took his kids to it and they loved it.
Really? You're a monster. Holy crap. Maybe it's because I don't have kids. Maybe I've got this twisted version of kids in my head as the like this innocent kid in the 80s that I would never be able to handle it. But maybe kids nowadays are just like, Joel, whatever, you're an old man. Get off your own lawn. Wow.
I can't say anything because my parents never had rules where I couldn't see anything I didn't want to see. My parents took me to go see RoboCop when I was like 7. And I watched the guy get splattered all over the car. And I laughed the whole time.
I watched that when I was like 14 at home and I had rented it without my dad knowing. And I was traumatized by that. Jeez. The thing about it, I think, is that I'm thinking about it in a way like, what if I took as a friendly outing, you know, maybe I'm babysitting Peyton's son, who's like 6, and I brought him to this. I would be terrified that I would be bringing this kid home to nightmares. Like I would leave. I wouldn't feel comfortable. And maybe it would be different if it was my own kid and I would know a way to kind of explain stuff to them. But man, like, yeah, it was not something that I found it really disturbing, I guess is the best way to put it. It was really off-putting. It wasn't what I was in the mood for or what I was expecting. Phil in the chat room saying now that it was horribly mismarketed. Yeah, that's definitely true. The thing that I will say about it, to end on a positive note, is that it is probably one of the best examples of very seamless and believable comps for CG animation, live action, puppetry, all kind of rolled into one. These guys are basically in suits. So from the neck down or from the chest down, they're just people in giant Muppet suits. But the faces are animated, so their mouths are perfect. They lip sync great. It's not like Falcor from Neverending Story with like a flapping jaw. The eyes are all computer animated, so they're subtle. They have emotion. They blink. They get teary. Their pupils dart back and forth. Like, it's that kind of thing that really kind of affects you when you're watching something like that. But it also has the opposite. Like when they're angry or they're upset, it's not like you see anger. It's almost like you see sadness behind their eyes, and it just makes you feel like, oh my god, like we have seconds before this giant animal lashes out, you know? So it's effective and it's very well done. Like the production value of it is very high. I mean, Tom Hanks helped produce it. It was his production company and the budget was in the 100 million range. Like there's a big budget behind it. It's a well filmed and well executed movie as far as that goes, but it really kind of leaves you with an irk.
It's one of those things, I'll wait till it shows up on Netflix.
That's how I saw it.
Oh, see, it's not on Netflix here.
No, not yet. Yeah. No. So anyway, sorry for the long rant, but it's been a while.
I totally understand. Sometimes you just need to get it off your chest.
Man, and it's been a long time since a movie has affected me like that. Like, it's one thing to get up on here and say like, all right, Home from DreamWorks sucked. I didn't like it. I didn't finish it. Blah. Like just end rant. Like there wasn't much I could say, but this, it's almost like I can't decide, right? I mean, for a movie that I don't like, I've spent 15 minutes talking about it.
Yeah.
Right? You know? And I'm recommending people go see it and then email the show and tell me how messed up you feel after.
Sometimes movies like that can be good. And then sometimes there's ones that just leave a bad taste in your mouth.
Yeah.
And it sounds like it's the kind that leaves a bad taste
in your mouth. Yeah. And I don't know whether that means that it was just extremely effective, or whether that means that I was disappointed. Like, it, you know what I mean? It's funny how it's an entire movie about feelings and I don't know how I feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But one last thing, actually, before I forget, the movie, the biggest difference in the movie, And the biggest problem I have with it, especially as a kid's film, is that in the book, he goes up to his room, he broods on his feelings, and he comes back downstairs after being sent upstairs with no dinner to a hot dinner with his mom. In the movie, he runs away, basically gives her a heart attack. She's up all night, she's exhausted, and he finally comes home. There's no dialogue, he doesn't apologize, and she gives him a hot dinner and a giant piece of chocolate cake. The message there is throw a tantrum, run away, and come home to get all the things you want. Like, that to me was just mishandled. Now, if the whole thing was still exactly the same, but instead of running out the front door, he went up to his room and slammed the door and went into his little imaginary land, that it would have been fine. Like, I think that right. They could have fixed it very, very easily, but they just took it that extra bit too far, you know? And maybe it's because I've got friends that have kids now, so when a kid runs away in a movie, I think, oh, God, that's not good. You know,
like, yeah.
You know, because, I mean, it's I don't know, in 2015, the world feels like a giant scary place. And to say, like, yeah, sure, run away. Like, no, kids, don't do that. Bad news. Even if you're just going down the block, still bad.
Yeah.
Bad, bad, bad. Anyway, I guess we can wrap things up with the Internet Minute. It is, of course, brought to you by tweakedaudio.com. For high-performance, noise-reducing earbuds, visit tweakedaudio.com and use our code TCC at checkout for free shipping and 30% off your entire order. It's a pretty good deal, especially with the whole shipping thing. This time of year, shipping can be expensive. So check out tweakedaudio.com, enter the code TCC, and save a whole lot on your new set of earbuds. I have a quick pick this week, and I will not have much to say about it because I did not read it. It seemed poignant, but I am a person who is in a 112% spoiler-free zone for Star Wars. Andrea sent in this, apparently the sirens know that I'm talking about Star Wars. They've come to stop me. Sorry. And now the dog next door is howling about the sirens.
Can't hear the dog, but I heard the sirens.
Yeah. The dog... It's kind of funny. There's the siren went down the street and the dog going, ah, wow, wow, wow. Oh, man. Where was I? Star Wars. So C-3PO speaks man behind Star Wars droid on The Force Awakens. So it's an interview in Rolling Stone with the guy that plays C-3PO. My sister sent it in, actually. She sent it to me on Facebook and she thought it would be a good pick. And I agree. I think it's a great pick. I did not read it. I read the first two questions and they both relate directly to his experiences on The Force Awakens. I'm just like, nope, I don't want to read it. So maybe bookmark it if you're in the spoiler-free zone. If not, check it out. She's read it apparently, and thinks it was a pretty good pick. So yeah, that is my pick this week. Did you have anything, sir?
I did not. The most I can suggest is check out the trailer for the movie Nice Guys.
Nice Guys. I did see that. Nice Guys. I didn't see the trailer, but I saw it kicking around.
Yeah, it's worth a watch. It's a action movie that takes place in the 70s. With Russell Crowe and I can't think of the other actor's name, Ryan Gosling.
Okay.
And Ryan Gosling is a very different character from what you see in most movies. And Russell Crowe is a very, very different character from what you see in most movies that they're in. So it's written and directed by the guy who wrote the Lethal Weapon movies and a bunch of stuff from the 80s.
Hmm.
So it looks like it's going to be at least an interesting film. And it wasn't what I was expecting when someone told me, oh, this looks awesome. And I was like, it's called Nice Guys. It's going to be one of these dumb buddy cop comedies. Mm-hmm. And that's not what it is.
Okay, interesting.
The title is very misleading from what the trailer shows you.
They took a page from Where the Wild Things Are.
Yeah. So it's definitely worth a watch. And I kind of am now excited to go see it.
Oh, very cool. I will make sure it is in the show notes. And you can find those show notes on thecitadelcafe.com where we post all kinds of cool stuff. It takes me a little while sometimes to get the show up and ready. If you are interested actually in 2016 to help me out with the show notes, then that would be something I'd be very happy to take you up on. Drop me a line at thesiddlecafe@gmail.com and let me know. You can also stop by every Wednesday and listen to the show live. It's thesiddlecafe.com/live or alphageekradio.com. Find us wherever you want. And wherever you can listen to Alpha Geek Radio, we are also going to be live. Todd has been doing some great work over on AGR, and I think that you should all check it out. Don't forget to support Alpha Geek Radio on Patreon as well. It really helps Todd keep everything up and running and make improvements down the line. A lot of the developments lately have been video related, but even though we don't do a video show here on the Citadel Cafe, there's lots of really cool content that does do video, and I think that you'll enjoy that too. Don't forget to visit iTunes and give us a review. There's only a few weeks left in the year. I'm hoping to kick off the new year with some new reviews in the iTunes store. If you leave one, I'll read it here and give you a shout out. It's a great way for people to find the show, find about things that they want to listen to, and recommendations from friends too. So even if you don't want to go on to iTunes, just maybe share the show with a buddy or two. Always retweet the tweets and repost the Facebook things that I do. It really helps kind of spread things around. And the more eyeballs and stuff that we get on those posts, then the more ear holes we get on the podcast. My name is Joel Duggan. You can find everything that I'm up to online at joelduggan.com. Posted a comic last week. It is the 6-year anniversary for Starcrossed. I'm working on a new comic now, but I did one in color for fun. So check that out at starcrossedonline.com, and you can always support the comic on my Patreon, which is just patreon.com/Joel Duggan. Beyond that, my name on social media is a great place to find me. Just look me up and say hello, because I will most likely say hello back, or something funny. Usually hello, because funny means, you know, performing on the spot, and I don't do that very well. Where can people find you online?
The easiest place to find me is at Busy Zombie Lord on Twitter, and you can find my show, Zombies Ate My Podcast, every week. We've been a little chaotic the last few weeks, well, the last couple of months due to scheduling conflicts, so we're not consistent. We're getting an episode up every week, but we're not consistent on the day, so. Mm-hmm. But Zombies Ate My Podcast, we just wrapped up The Walking Dead mid-season, so.
Nice.
You want a rundown of what we think is going to happen next half of the season? We kind of dive deep into that. So.
Oh, right on. I like speculation shows. Those are always fun.
That's kind of what we do. Talk about the episode and then speculate where it's going.
Nice.
And boy, do they get mad when I'm right.
You've been listening to the Citadel Cafe, where we are fast, easy, and cheap, but you can only pick two.
This podcast recorded before a live internet audience. To learn how to listen and watch live, visit tunein.alphageekradio.com.